Good morning. We have a good number present. I'm grateful that you've taken time this morning to come and to be with us, and we certainly welcome any and all visitors that we have with us. Always good to have you in our midst, and we hope that you will find yourself welcome and come back and be with us at your next earliest opportunity. For several weeks now, we have been looking at the subject of good and evil, right and wrong. And in the last lesson, I completed what I call principles of discernment. The Bible teaches us to exercise our spiritual senses, to know the difference between what's right and wrong, because not everything is clearly spelled out for us in the Word of God. We're to the point now in this series where I want to begin to make practical application to what we have been studying and see how these principles that are found in God's Word will help us in our everyday life. And the lessons really will kind of stand on their own from here on, but I think work well with the series as well, that we can help use the principles that God has given us in His Word. Now, there are few things that we do more often in life than decide what we're going to wear. Almost every day, I would say, surely we make a decision on how we dress when we go out into the world. And that will vary depending, obviously, whether we're going to work or whether it's recreation or whether it's working in the yard or whatever it may be. We decide each day how we're going to dress. It's a major part of our life. Now, the Word of God does have some things to say about that. But for some of these things, we must, again, go to the principles of God's Word and make application. So I thought we might as well just jump right into the fire and begin with this topic, because it's one that is important, it's one that is needed, and unfortunately, particularly this time of the year, people think at times that God's Word may change depending on what the weather is, and it really does not. The principles remain the same depending on, not depending on whether it's hot or whether it's cold, but the principles of God's Word remain true. So we want to look at that and discuss and think about this particular topic in our study this morning. And I began by thinking about who or what is, again, the right standard in determining right from wrong. And the answer is very clear, God's Word. And that's the point we've been establishing throughout this series, that the Word of God must be our standard or our guide. And it will be if we allow it to be. It's not me or you personally. It's not just what we like or what we think, rather than what is actually revealed in the Word of God. And it is not changed based on the activity. Modesty is modesty, and is something that's to be a part of our life as children of God. And again, activities themselves may not be sinful, but sometimes it's the attire that is used by individuals, as we will see and we get into the lesson more. Fashion designers do not dictate or determine what is right or wrong. I know, unfortunately, for many individuals, that's what people go by when it comes to determining what they're going to wear. What's fashionable? What is the latest? And, you know, sometimes that may be modest. Other times it may be not. And therefore, we must not use them as our standard or our guide. And geographical location does not change what I'm going to talk about this morning. If I were in Florida or California, the message is still the same. Unfortunately, I'm afraid at times Christians in different geographical locations have adopted different ideas based on the customs of where they live more than on what is actually found in the Word of God. So the lesson is true wherever we may be in God's world. God sets the guidelines for dress, just as He does in other areas of life. And throughout the Word of God, it's important to recognize what He has taught us. And if we violate the principles that are found in the Word of God, we have sinned. It's important that, again, we not only understand these principles, but that we make the needed application in our life. And if you want to dress in harmony with those principles, then you will gladly, willingly submit yourself to and appreciate that what is taught in the Word of God. James chapter 1 talks about this in verse 21 when he said, "Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word." Now, I realize that some things that I may say this morning in this lesson might be something that you hold a different idea about. And your thoughts about it would be different, and I simply ask that you not just automatically turn off what I say, and I'm not saying it, again, just to stir up controversy, but I want you to honestly look at and think about what we're looking at from God's Word and see if what is taught is true, and if perhaps then some change might need to be made in your life and in your practice. It's my aim to help you do what is right, to help you to be honestly able to discern between good and evil, right and wrong. I don't want you doing what's wrong, believing it is right, only to find out later in the day of judgment that it wasn't. So again, I ask you to honestly examine and think about what we're saying. And then he talks about when it is God's word, all of us should receive it with meekness. Not with reluctance, not with a grudge or a chip on our shoulder, but because it's right, because it's God's word. We receive it in the right way. And if we're going to receive it in the right way, then we'll do the rest of this. We'll be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. To hear it, to know the principles, and to do nothing about them, he said we're self-deceived, believing that maybe knowing them will make us better, but it is in fact doing them that makes us approved of God. So if we reject God's principles, we really are rejecting God himself. If the message that I'm preaching and teaching is from God, it's not my message. It's the one found in the Word of God. And although you may not like it, you're not really rejecting what I say, but what God has taught us in his Word. If these principles we apply, in fact, are God's Word. And the seriousness of that, Jesus himself said, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I've spoken will judge him in the last day. So yes, we can reject God's word all the days of our life. But when we do, it will still be there as our standard of judgment on that great final day. And that's a sobering thought for each of us. Let's think about for the moment, first, what are some of the reasons for immodesty in dress? Why do we have such a problem with this in our society? Well, I think that it ultimately comes down to being a heart problem. Modesty begins on the inside. It's not something that is going to be on the outside, just unless it is not first on the inside. It is a matter of the heart or the mind of man. It starts with an attitude of respect for oneself, for God, for the principles of the Word of God that then are applied by, again, a respect for the truth. And one, again, with a modest heart is going to reflect that in not only their dress, but in their demeanor, in their manner of life. The Bible talks about a meek and quiet spirit. Well, that comes from a modest heart. That comes from an orderly life on the inside. The right kind of language or speech is going to come from a modest heart, one that is on the inside. But when one is untaught, they may dress immodestly simply out of ignorance, not knowing better. You know, every young person that comes into this world has to learn godliness and righteousness just like we have learned it in our life. And it's not something that is within us. Jeremiah is very plain. It's not in man that walks to direct his own step. So we should not expect those who are not taught to know these principles and be able to apply them. Sometimes that's the problem. And multitudes of people are being raised without God in their life and without the Word of God in their life. And so no wonder we have a problem with this because of the ignorance in society itself. Then there's the problem of peer pressure. There are those who clearly reject God's word, have no respect for it, no desire to submit to it, but they often are the ones looked up to and respected by others who then will emulate or follow their example. And we've already talked about the power of example. And so many not wanting to stand alone against the individuals who are considered in, they want to be in that group as well, and they'll do whatever it takes in order to fit in, including a certain manner of dress and conduct. And that's unfortunate as well, but it's a strong reason for much of what we see in our society today. And then there's some carelessness, some that know better, but they really are not paying attention. And therefore, they're not really thinking. In fact, there are times you look at some and you say, what were you thinking? When you look at the modern dress of many individuals, carelessness, along with ignorance and peer pressure. Carelessness in regard to the principles of God. Some that know better, some that do not, and are just more careless. And again, many simply allow the world to influence them and to be the determining factor rather than the principles that are found in the Word of God. And with some, it's simply not looking in the mirror, not taking time to consider and to think about the impact of their dress on others and the principles of the Word of God in connection with them. All right, let's think about then what we are talking about. What is modesty? How would we describe it? Well, basically, each of these examples that we find in the Word of God illustrate what a modest heart really is. A sense of shame, as in the story of Queen Vashti, who would not come and display herself in the manner that the king wanted her to do. She had this sense of shame, it would appear, that I'm not going to lower myself to that. And many, of course, do not have that sense of shame. The Bible calls shamefacedness or shamefacedness, the idea there of one understanding that nakedness, even when it's not total, still should be something that is recognized with a sense of shame. Then you have a sense of honor when it came to Joseph. He refused to yield or to bow to the pressures of the wife of Potiphar, who was trying to get him to yield. And he had an honor, a respect for God, a sense of modesty in his heart that would not allow him to yield to that. Then early on with Saul, he was described as a humble man. I think we could say in all appropriate definition, he was a modest man. Saul in the beginning did not exalt himself as he did later. Humility, bashfulness, all of that is involved in this word modest. Reverence, as with the centurion, and simply regard for others. All of these are different shades of meaning of what we're talking about when we talk about modesty in the heart of an individual. So again, we're saying it starts on the inside with a natural shame of being dressed in an immodest way, a natural sense of honor and respect for God and humility and the ability to blush, if you will, at things for which we should. Reverence and respect for God and, again, a proper regard for others. We could spend our time simply talking about this, but we need to move on in our study, of course. Modesty is defined in Vine's dictionary as orderly. And that's kind of the idea. Things are in order, well arranged, decent. We know when we talk about things that are indecent versus decent, then the well ordering is not of dress and demeanor only. That's the outward show of it, but of the inner life, expressing itself in the outward conversation or manner of life. Thayer defined it equally as well-arranged, seemly, modest, seemly, proper behavior, proper dress, proper language, modest. All of that, involved in the definition of what we're talking about. So what are related principles? Well, let's go in our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you will. And I want you to read with me there in verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing. You remember we started out talking about how that sometimes God is very specific on what He wants. Now, in this verse, he said that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. And again, what is involved here is the idea of one, again, who has that ability to blush, to feel shame for what is unseemly or immodest, a sense of shame, a shrinking from trespassing the boundaries of propriety or proper reserve. Here he places upon, again, the Christian woman a respect for him, his word and for others in the manner of her dress. But now what you notice here is that he doesn't tell us here where should the line be? How, you know, what particular clothing should I wear or not wear? What is immodest? Defining it, what it is. And so again, there's some judgment that is involved here in learning how to make an application of this verse. He definitely tells us that in this there should be good judgment that comes out of this. Propriety and moderation are terms that he mentions here, which involves this idea of being able to rightly discern God's word, to rightly apply it with good judgment. It's defined as good sense, soundness of mind. The dress should be sensible with sanity of mind. Again, a person logically examining their dress, the principles of word of the Word of God, laying them down side by side and making a sensible, sane decision is exactly what is involved here. Vines defines the word that is used in the text as that habitual inner self-government with its constant reign on all of the passions and desires which would hinder the temptation to these from arising. That's the word that's used there in that verse. Habitual inner self-government. Keeping self under control. Keeping a constant rein on passions. Passions that would lead us to do things and to say things that are inappropriate, that are out of order, that are not what God would have them to be and would not, again, cause others to be tempted. It is not inherently sinful simply for one to be fashionable. We mentioned that earlier. This is what governs some people. It's not that to be fashionable is wrong, but it is wrong if fashion itself dictates what is immoral or indecent. If it leads us away from the principles of God to something else that's simply now accepted in society, it doesn't make it right. Nor is it a good idea then to remain fashionable in that sense. Because what we're to be guided by is godliness and good judgment. 1 Timothy 2, verse 10, going to the next verse. But which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. I want you to understand that in your manner of dress, you profess something. That's what he's talking about here. You either profess godliness or godlessness. And that's an important point for us to understand. With good works. This is, he says, what's proper for women of God. That they profess godliness in their conduct, in their manner of life, in their dress, in their speech. All of these areas is what he's describing here. The idea, again, is that women should adorn themselves by good works. What God calls good works. Works that are fitting. Works that are suited to their profession. Their profession is, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. And with that profession then, they need to match the profession with their behavior, with their dress. The word profess means to convey a message loudly, clearly, to proclaim. Now, would you not agree that dress proclaims something, either good or bad? It can proclaim that one has respect for God and the Word of God and themselves, or they do not in their manner of dress. Dress and actions do affect others. In one of our lessons, we spend a good portion talking about our influence and that we're not to have the wrong kind of influence on others in the world. Our manner of dress, our choice of what we choose to wear and go out into the world can in fact have a very adverse effect on other people. And that's one of the major principles that must be in our mind then when it comes to applying this. The Bible talks about, for instance, in Proverbs 7 and verse 10, the attire of a harlot. Now, a harlot was one, again, involved in sexual immorality as an occupation. Something, again, clearly condemned and strongly condemned in the Word of God. We can only imagine what that means. I think you can go down through most any major city in the country today and find one dressed in the attire of a harlot. And common sense and reason and appropriateness tells us what this is. But we have to make a judgment. Is this what we are wearing? Something that, again, would, in fact, be classified in this way. And if so, how could it possibly fit into a woman professing godliness? As far as the impact, again, of clothing or the lack thereof and what it can have on in its effect on others, we think about David walking on the roof of the palace and he sees Bathsheba bathing and lust for her. And we understand the power that this has to affect other people. But many times individuals are not thinking about this, not making that application. And therefore, they do not avoid the sin as a result of that. Jesus warned of the danger, of the impact of lust in the heart. And there in Matthew chapter 5, if you'll read with me in verse 28, notice the statement that is made. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now here is a sin that is involved. A man looking upon a woman to lust after her. We're not told in this verse what her attire was. And I understand that even a woman modestly attired could be the object of lust of some man. His heart may be that deprived, only thinking evil continually. But it also may be that he really wasn't thinking about that at all till he saw her, and her manner of dress could stir or help create this when otherwise it would not. And therefore, there could be two sins involved. His looking to lust, her promoting and helping that, and helping to kind of place a stumbling block in the way by her choice of dress. And that would be wrong. If we place a stumbling block in others, if we lead others to do wrong based on our actions, then we have sinned, based on our choices or our decisions. The clothing of a Christian should always be modest, reserved, decent, and respectable. And I really believe that when we're honest with ourselves and our hearts, we don't have a problem truly beginning to discern what that is. The ability to show shame and the ability to blush, it used to be a virtuous characteristic of many people that has been lost for the most part in our modern day society. There are times that individuals do and say and wear things for which there certainly should be shame, but there's none felt whatsoever. They've lost that modesty of heart. Showing good judgment, common sense, understanding again the power and the impact of our influence. Showing godliness, as we mentioned from 1 Timothy, devoted to God. That this is what our behavior and our dress would proclaim. Respecting others, being sure that I'm going to dress in such a way, whatever I'm doing, wherever I'm going, that I'm not going to be one promoting and contributing to thoughts of lust in the heart of another individual. Understanding the danger of that. Now let's turn our thoughts to ways then that one can be immodest. Because I think there are many. And even in the text, the first one is simply what Paul is describing as too showy. And again, it's a problem of the heart because it's that this person wanted to be seen and honored and respected because of their wealth. And again, he talks about the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, the putting on of apparel. And the idea was that the kind of apparel chosen and the ornaments chosen and jewelry and so forth, all of this was in order to show oneself off. There was a problem with the heart. And ultimately, it's kind of at times the same thing that's done when one dresses scantily. It's again with the attempt to show oneself off, to bring attention to oneself. And the problem really originates in the heart. And so he's saying that that is immodest, if it's too showy. But generally, that may not be our biggest problem today. It may more likely be today too short. Again, with the idea of showing oneself off, of inviting attention to oneself. And I think often because perhaps the individual really has a poor self-image to begin with. They have little respect for themselves, or they would not want to dress that way and to display themselves in that way before others. Sometimes it's not too short. It may cover the body, but in a very tight way. So again, it's not revealing, but it is revealing because of how tight it actually is, or because it's too thin. Once again, revealing too much because you can see through it. And therefore, even though they have something on, it appears too much that they may not. So again, too showy, too short, too tight, too thin, too low. Because again, it's revealing more than modesty would allow. And finally, it may simply be too loose. Standing up, it may be fine, may cover very well, till one sits down and the looseness of the garment may reveal way too much, more than one again should be willing to. So this is how we have to begin to be spiritually discerning and thinking about all of these areas when it comes to immodesty. Now, again, I want to ask a question for us to think about. Does modesty apply in all areas of our life? Are there times that it just kind of gets put on hold and we don't have to worry about it? I don't believe there's anything, any activity that, you know, I think we can talk about from day to day that it doesn't apply. For instance, when it comes to sports, there are those that think, well, if I'm participating in sports, then it doesn't matter what I wear. Well, where does it say that? Where in the Word of God does He suspend modesty if you're in sports? Because when you were in sports in the first century, if you were a Greek, it may have been the Olympics, and they may have competed completely nude. Would that have been okay for a Christian? Would that have been all right because it was sports? Certainly we know not that it does apply even when it comes to sports. Or what about weddings? There are those that on other occasions will dress modestly, but they think when it comes to choosing a wedding dress, that they will choose one that again ignores the principles of modesty in the Word of God. And I understand that may be difficult to find one that fits God's standards rather than society's standards, but it doesn't remove the need to do that and to apply that. Or what about yard work? Well, that's just yard work. You know, it doesn't matter how I dress when I go out into the yard. Well, again, are you seen by others? You know, it's amazing at times going down the street, seeing some working in the yard, bending over, you don't get the best view at times. Of individuals. And maybe we need to be thinking about that. How do I dress when I go into the yard? Coming home the other day, came down one of our streets and two older men were out there at the mailbox talking. Shirtless, you know, just nothing from the waist up. And I thought, what a sight. It wasn't lust, I'll tell you. But it also wasn't modest. And it applies to men as well as women. And so again, we must think that even in yard work, God's principles still apply. I'm outside, I'm seen by others. And so we need to understand that we're talking about wherever we go and whatever we're doing. Right and wrong principles apply. There is modest and there is immodest. With modesty, it produces that sense of shame. I'm not going to dress that way. I would be ashamed to dress that way, versus I don't care. I'll do what I want to do. No shame. And I don't care what other people think about it. You see the difference in the heart? The difference in the way we apply? Good judgment. You can look at people and you can say, what were they thinking? What are you saying? They don't have good sense. They don't even have good judgment. Or we look at some of the young girls and we think, why would a mother, why would a father let their child dress this way? They do not have good judgment. So again, modest or immodest, good judgment, poor judgment, godliness versus no fear of God. Again, some would clearly show they have no concern or respect for God's word in their manner of behavior, where others will conform themselves to the principles of God's word. Modest in heart. There are those that are careful. They do not want to contribute to the sin of someone else. They don't want to lead someone to stumble. Others are not concerned or worried about that. And in fact, they dress with that as their goal or their object. Total difference in the heart. So I want you to apply these specific things to these principles. And you tell me where do they fall? The modern day swimsuit to go to a public beach today, or a public pool, or maybe even in their own pool in the backyard. Again, clearly visible to others. Which side could we put that on? And when it comes to things called yoga pants, these are one of the greatest rages today. I had to make sure I got this name right. You know, I've searched through the Bible and they're not mentioned. They're not in the Word of God. You got to make a decision, you know, on some of these things. The Bible says nothing about them, but the principles, they're there. And this seems to be that what used to be maybe like tights and maybe worn under something else now has become the pants. And just a short top over this, very thin, very conforming, very revealing in their own way. But many believe that this can be their modern attire and not violate the principles of the Word of God. Again, we need to think about this. Where would we put them? Short dresses that are revealing. And again, at times, we need to understand that it may not appear that short standing, but then we've got to think about, again, sitting and activities that are involved with short dresses. And again, which side would we put them on? Then there's split dresses. Nothing wrong with the length. The split dress may go all the way to the floor, but the split may go up to the waist. With what purpose, again? How could we define that as modest? Again, when we stop and think about that. Or again, short shorts. And today, some of them are literally as short as they can be and still be anything that they actually have on. Again, revealing far more than we can do with modesty. Sundresses. Nothing wrong with the sun. Nothing wrong with the word itself. But again, how revealing are they is a question. And where would we put them? Or again, men going shirtless. Either in their own yard or wherever they may be. Again, the question is, does this apply to men? Well, yes, it applies to men. And the modesty of heart applies to men, just like it does women. And even though the male may be more affected than the female, that's certainly not universally true in our world today. And the principles will apply to both men and women. And then when we think about low-cut clothing or tight or form-fitting, again, the body's covered but so tightly and so much so that the form itself is provocative, and we realize the danger of that. Exercise attire. Nothing wrong with exercise and with wearing the right attire to exercise, but for me to think that it doesn't matter what I wear because I'm exercising is a wrong concept. It still applies. Still applies. Strapless or backless. Why? What is the purpose? Why are we trying to reveal more? And what are we accomplishing when we do so? Or see-through styles. Again, the thinness of it. With just a hint of revealing more than we should. Where would we put those? Gymnastic uniforms or cheerleading uniforms. Again, it may not be that the activity itself is wrong, but it may be the choice of the attire that, again, leads one who decides to participate in these in a precarious situation as a child of God. And again, I understand that when we're dealing with young people, there is a huge amount of pressure to be involved, to participate, to be a part of the group, and not to stand out. And I understand if you dress modestly today as a Christian, you will stand out. There's no doubt about that. But we have to understand that to be right, we've already pointed out, we will be different. And we've got to help instill in our young people. And I don't believe that the young people will always on their own make the right decisions in this. Again, they need our guidance. As Paul said, they need to be taught in the home early on. And instead of mothers setting the wrong example for their children and encouraging them to go the wrong way, they're there to be the leaders and the guide and the examples, rather than being part of the problem. And fathers, who are ultimately themselves the main ones responsible for their family. In Ephesians 6, the father is commanded to bring up the child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And even if mothers don't understand or get it, and they're not setting the right example, the father has no excuse for not understanding the danger of immodest apparel, and whatever the battle, not allowing that young son or daughter to be led astray and to wear the wrong things. We have to get our heads out of the sand, have respect for God, want more than ever to save the souls of our children, to lead them in principles of righteousness, and to teach them the truth by our example and orally from the Word of God. That's our obligation. That's our God-given responsibility. And we'll answer for it if we do not. So again, remember what I said about the principles of modesty that are inherent in the words used there in 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. Shame, a sense of shame. Good judgment, godliness as our guide, our principle there to lead us and guide us, and understanding the great impact that dress will have on others. And being sure that we're not one of the contributing causes to such sins. We live in a world filled with lust and immorality and fornication and adultery. And I guarantee you that one of the main contributing factors to this is lasciviousness, which is that which is designed by its nature to stir unlawful desire in the heart of others. Dress can do that. Actions can do that. Speech can do that. But again, it comes from a heart that clearly is immodest. So the principles of modesty still apply. They apply to men as well as women. They apply when we stand, when we sit, when we bend, when we lean over, whatever. When we're seen, they apply. They apply to more than just length. They apply to that which, again, is tight or form-fitting. They apply also to those that are younger as well as those who are older, not just the young. And even when we get older, there's no pass in the Word of God that once you turn 65 or 70, you don't have to worry about modesty anymore. Yes, you do, as long as you live. They apply at the services. You know, it should never be that individuals passing the Lord's Supper should have to worry about what is seen in the pew that's immodest. We should never have to think about that as children of God. But it applies here, but not only here. It still applies as well in our own backyard. So each and all of these principles, of course, are there for us in God's Word. And the question, again, deep down in our heart is, do we want to be godly? Do we want more than anything to be modest of heart, orderly, well-arranged, godliness as our guide, and avoiding putting any kind of stumbling block in someone else's way? If you're here and not a Christian, I'd like to encourage you this morning to think seriously about obeying the gospel. If you are not a child of God, your life is not orderly, well arranged. You've neglected and rejected the greatest thing that God has given you, your own soul and your hope of eternal life that's found in Jesus Christ. We studied in our Bible class in the auditorium about that Christ himself purged us from our sins in his own blood on the cross. You can take advantage of that this morning by obeying the gospel, being baptized for the forgiveness of sins as you confess your faith in Jesus as God's Son and repent of those sins. We hope that if you have that need this morning, or if you as a Christian have done things that you realize are wrong and against the principles of God, and you need to publicly correct that, we want to encourage you as well to take advantage of this opportunity and come while we stand and sing at this time.